some of our most vulnerable people in Northern Ireland could be about to get hit very hard indeed when measures to ease the impact of welfare reform ends in March 2020. So here we are, just a few months away from that, and there's nothing in place. The DUP is the latest political party to hold discussions with Stormont officials amidst warnings that welfare claimants are facing a cliff edge. The party says that without a functioning executive to intervene, around 34,000 households will be subject to the bedroom tax. In a moment, we'll hear from the SDLP, but earlier I spoke to Kevin Higgins from Advice NI.
Well, Stephen, what happened was, as a result of welfare reform and the agreements that were made back in 2015, Professor Evison chaired a mitigations working group, and that came up with proposals which mitigated the worst impacts of welfare reform being introduced to Northern Ireland. Now, those mitigations, many of them were time-limited to March 2020. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the mitigations cliff edge. It's where people that are currently getting help, for example, with bedroom tax, and that help, as we currently stand, is due to end in March 2020.
And what happens then?
Well, that's the question. And in many ways, this is an incredible report from these two really important influential committees, Westminster committees, the Work and Pensions and Northern Ireland Affairs Committee. They came together to look at welfare reform in Northern Ireland. And it is actually incredible. They are coming out and saying that Northern Ireland, we do have a unique context. We do have special circumstances in terms of our social housing and disproportionately high rates of disability, larger family size. And effectively what they're saying is the politicians were right here in 2015 to set money aside to mitigate welfare reform. They're saying that the working group chaired by Professor Evison came up with a fair set of proposals. They're saying that the department implemented those fairly. But actually, the really important headline is this joint committee is saying that in the absence of the Assembly, our Secretary of State, the UK government, must act quickly to legislate to avoid the looming cliff edge and extend the mitigations. And actually not only extend them, but actually include the two-child cap, so actually strengthen the mitigations. And maybe from your point of view, Stephen, the big thing that it ends up saying is those mitigations should be funded by Westminster. That money should not come out of the Northern Ireland block grant.
So spell out to us in bullet form what will be dropping off the cliff, if you like, after March 2020 in terms of protections.
Well, Stephen, the big headline grabbing one is the bedroom tax. At the moment, 34,000 people have their housing benefit reduced. They are impacted by the bedroom tax. But what happens is they get a mitigation payment to offset that. So albeit the bedroom tax is impacting on their benefit, they get the mitigation payment. And so that means that the bedroom tax is mitigated, if you like. But come March 2020, people will be subjected to the full brunt of the bedroom tax, if you like. It's 34,000 affected by the tune of, on average, £50 a month. Now, the Housing Executive have done some research for those, you know, unfortunately, a small number of people have lost their bedroom tax mitigation. And the Housing Executive are able to tell us that for those people that have lost it, arrears for those households have quadrupled when they lost their bedroom tax mitigation. So that was a small number of people. If you then extrapolate that to 34,000, I mean, I couldn't be accused of scaremongering because the evidence is there. What that will mean will be people will slide into housing arrears and inevitably you'll get towards repossessions, evictions and homelessness as a result of the mitigations ending in March 2020.
So if people are trying to make plans for who are currently relying on that mitigation and they're trying to make plans, what do they do?
Well, I mean, you're right. And the thing about it is that many cannot make plans because many people, and again, the Housing Executive research shows this, don't know that they're getting the mitigation payment in the first place. It all happens, I suppose, you know, behind the scenes. The housing benefit amount is cut, but the supplementary payment flows automatically. So many people may not even realise that they're getting this payment, and so they can't even, you know, make plans at this point. Although I suppose I would argue advice, and I would argue that even if you did know, because of, you know, the cuts that have been made to the social security system and the benefit freeze and so on, even if you did know and you were on social security benefits, there's very little that you can do, you know, to make plans for such substantial cuts if we lose the mitigation support in March 2020.
Okay. Kevin, thank you very much indeed, sir. Thank you.
Well, Sinn Féin's Alex Maskey joining us this morning. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. Good. And I apologise for the poor quality of the line I have here, but it's the best I can do.
It's all right. And the SLP's Patsy McGlow. Good morning to you, Patsy.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Patsy. Well, Alex, it's my understanding, I'm trying to think back to those days where we were doing bedroom tax nearly every day, that people could lose up to a quarter of their benefits if it's deemed that they have a spare room.
Well, with 14%, we'll have quite a bit of money out of it. I mean, for people who are on very low income and benefits, they're described as the most vulnerable, and that's what you have to accept. So therefore, any money out of their benefit is too much. So the difficulty here is that the department themselves, because built into the programme that we did a number of years ago, was that the department had to do a full review of the mitigation programme after 3 years. The department has done that. The department will tell you, and have publicly said this, that they can, within the existing legislation, continue to pay the bedroom tax and the benefit cap within existing regulations. Maybe a bit clumsy, but it can be done within the current regulations. And there is money in the kitty there to pay these mitigations.
And yet,
some of the money has been unspent. So what I've been doing is been trying to work with other parties to get a consensus. Remember last Christmas, all the parties made a public commitment that we would try and get a consensus amongst the parties to continue on the mitigations post-March 2020.
So help me understand, though, if you're saying the legislation is already there to allow this mitigation is supposed to stop in March, so you're saying the legislation's there which will allow it to continue to be paid and the money is there, so what's the problem? Why do people not already know that they're going to continue to get their money?
Well, the department produced a three-year report. As part of the mitigation programme, the department had to produce a report in year three. The department produced that report, and they did say that within the current legislation, they were able to continue paying the bedroom tax and the benefit cap. Those were two specific benefits that they said could be done, albeit in a clumsy manner in terms of regulations, but the person who would be receiving the money, they wouldn't worry where it's clumsy in that as long as the money for the bedroom tax is paid. And we have been arguing with the department then that needs to be a commitment to do that. There's money underspent in the mitigation programme because the British Treasury has not allowed the money to be spent because they would want to tax it. So in other words, the money that we negotiated to take out of the black grant to subsidise the welfare cuts, the tax man was going to take part of that money away off the claimants, which we felt very ridiculous. We raised that with Trees of Villiers, Ian Brokenshire, Karen Bradley, British Government Prime Minister. So these are issues which are present then on people. We are satisfied that at the very least with a commitment from the department, those two benefits could be continued post-March. But more importantly, we have been trying to work with the parties. The parties have met on a number of occasions. We're currently seeking to meet again shortly because I believe that the parties collectively have a united view on this. Then we will have a much stronger hand to make sure we do protect the people that all the parties represent collectively.
And Patsy McGlone, at what stage? The bottom line is, for people who are getting this money and they need it to put a roof over their heads, and they've got families in these homes and they are currently in jeopardy come March 2020, at what stage is the political system here in Northern Ireland going to be able to tell them that they're going to be okay? Like, are they going to find out before Christmas?
Well, I think, Stephen, there's one thing, and while the absolute focus has been correctly so on the bedroom tax here this morning, many people have also been in receipt of mitigation measures, quite substantially so. Those who are moving from DLA to BIP, who had a reduction in their payments because their benefit was reduced, and those on ESA or sickness benefit who maybe had their sickness withdrawn or were in the work-related activity group were compensated for a year as well. So it's just not bedroom tax and the benefits cap. And I hear Alex what he's saying, and what he's saying there. But there's a much wider range of people and many other people, thousands and thousands of other people who are affected by this for a variety of reasons. Those who have been in receipt of ELA, those who are in receipt of ESA, and indeed some carers may have lost their entitlement.
Patsy, I can't hear you, mate. We'll see if we can get the phone sorted out. Andy Allen from the Ulster Unionist Party with us this morning. Same question to you, Andy. Can you give people any assurance who are currently getting this benefit as to how the local political system here is going to assure them and when they're going to be assured that they're getting this money?
I can't, Stephen, because the reality of it is we're at deadlock with the other parties. The Ulster Unionist Party want to be back in the Assembly. We want to see ministers taking these strategic decisions that need to be taken. We want to see that happening tomorrow. We want to see that happening as far back as weeks ago, months ago. And the reality is we're not there. We need these mitigation measures.
What's the disagreement between the political parties over this? What is it?
Well, you would need to ask Alex, because that's at their level. But the disagreement remains between Sinn Féin and the DUP. The other parties are not within those talks.
But there's no disagreement, Alex Maskey, around whether welfare reform...
Actually, I didn't want to say this, but since Andy has raised this, I think it's unfortunate that if he speaks to his colleague, Robbie Butler, Robbie has had conversations with myself and other parties and is in discussion about having further discussions very shortly. Okay? I didn't want to say that on this programme this morning. The parties have met. I don't want people starting to politic around this issue, because this is too important for the people out there who rely on having their bedroom tax covered and who have their benefit cap covered. Another time, the party has actually indicated that they also need to be covered. So let's work on the basis that the parties will be mature enough to work together to reach a consensus, which we publicly committed to doing.
But I'm not reading between the lines, Alex, so you're going to need to spell it out to me. Maybe I'm just slow on a Monday morning. What is the problem between the political parties? What is the current impasse? Is there one?
In regard to the mitigation?
Yes.
The parties have met and discussed mitigations and have discussed trying to reach a consensus. We reached what I would describe as a basic consensus that we want to work together to help the continuing mitigations. We've made some progress in what we've agreed to support. I'm satisfied that means if the parties continue to work together in the next weeks, that we can have a good consensus. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what I hope all the other parties are aiming for, including Andy Allen's colleague, Robbie Butler, who I've been engaging with in the last week.
I'm looking at a statement here that the Belfast Telegraph ran from the UK government, and it reads the following, Alex Maskey. The Secretary of State's priority remains getting Stormont up and running urgently. The Department for Communities in Northern Ireland is responsible for the delivery of the various mitigation schemes relating to welfare reform in Northern Ireland. Its officials are ensuring that appropriate advice in relation to welfare mitigation is available for an incoming minister. In other words, if there's no local Stormont, they're putting it up to you. If you don't get back into local government, these problems are going to persist.
Well,
so if local people here get their welfare benefits stopped, it's your fault and all of the other political parties for not finding a way of working with each other. That's essentially what that government statement's going to say.
Well, that's the same government which we had to extract the mitigation money and the deal on the mitigation we had to extract. We had to be forced over a barrel, the parties here, forced to have the welfare cuts programme installed here. We negotiated a mitigation package. The taxman, the British government taxman, then decided we were going to take some of that money away. So we were going to take money out of the Black Grant to subsidise the welfare cuts, and then the British government were going to tax that money.
Well, another way of looking at it, Alex.
Another way of looking at it is that's
the same government who your party, along with other political parties, voted to hand them the control and the power to implement welfare reform in Northern Ireland, to implement the bedroom tax. It was Sinn Féin and other political parties that gave the British government that power.
Well, as you know, Stephen, as you recall yourself, we did quite a number of interviews around that whole period, and people were accusing us of holding up the Assembly, of bringing the Assembly to its knees. Just let's remind ourselves, there's two things here, just let's remind ourselves that the Assembly was on the point of collapse over welfare cuts. So if people had wanted the Assembly cut and collapse at that time, then that was fine. We took a decision that really was not the best way forward. We sought to mitigate the cuts. And bear in mind this, as you know, those cuts are right across Britain. And the mitigation package that we secured here has saved an awful lot of people from destitution. That's the reality.
Is it not worth a final push, Alex? Is it not worth a fresh push to get local government up and going, because this is coming at you. This is a huge trend coming at people in March 2020.
Of course, it requires another push and perhaps another push. So as far as we are concerned, and I don't think your listeners here want to know about bedroom tax and so on, will be interested in the minutiae about talks. At the minute, the talks are not delivering what we believe is necessary in terms of mitigation. So that's why we're involved in talks with all the other parties to at least get a consensus on how we move forward on the mitigation. We want the mitigation to continue beyond March, because there are a number of very important benefits that need to be subsidised, need to be replaced by people. We are prepared to do that. I hope all the other parties have the same commitment. I'm sure they do. But we'll test that in the time ahead. So as far as I'm concerned, my focus is dealing for Sinn Féin on this issue. My focus is to work with the other parties to get the maximum agreement that we can between the parties so that we can challenge this government. So incidentally, whatever about the technicalities of the legislation, this British government is responsible for the Tory budget cuts, including
When's the last time, Alex, Sinn Féin sat down and had a meaningful conversation with the DUP about this?
We sat down with a number of parties on three occasions, and that included the DUP, the SDLP, the Greens, and the Alliance Party.
I sat down
in the last number of months, and I'm encouraged. I'm currently scheduling.
Who did you sit down with, Alex?
Sorry?
Who did you sit down with?
I just outlined the parties who were involved.
Who within the DUP were you talking to?
Well, that's what I said. You let the DUP tell you who sat down from, but to preserve one of their representatives. So I sat down with the other party representatives. We had a number of meetings. We reached a limited amount of consensus. I'm pleased about that, as I'm sure will people who will rely on these benefits and these mitigations. So I hope to continue those discussions. But it is not entirely down to my... Obviously, I'm working with the other parties to try and arrange another meeting in the very, very near future.
But the clue is in that statement from the government that they gave to the Telegraph. And the clue's in the very end of it. They're saying for an incoming minister to sort out. In other words, if you don't get it up and going, people who you represent are going to suffer. That's what the government is essentially saying.
You just have to go back and read the Department for Communities' own report on the mitigation. They produced a report. They said that at least the benefit cap and the bedroom tax can be paid within the existing rules. I've spoken to the Permanent Secretary. I've spoken to their senior officials. That can be done on the same basis the Scottish Government does. Make those similar types of payments themselves. So at the end of the day, I'm not so much worried about any kind of a disingenuous statement from the British government around this issue. Have caused the problem. Stephen, let me just make the point, sorry. They have caused the problem by making a cut.
I'm reading John Campbell's copy here, who's our business economics and business editor. I'm reading his copy online from the 1st of July 2019. And the headline on the BBC News NI website is "Civil Servant Has No Power to Extend Welfare Reforms."
Yeah.
Has warned she has no power to extend welfare reform mitigations in Northern Ireland. Tracy Mahar, the Permanent Secretary in the Department for Communities, was giving evidence to a House of Commons committee. Ms Mahar said that any rollover will require legislation. That legislation would have to be passed by either Stormont or the House of Commons.
And I took issues with that civil servant at meetings with her, which I've done on a number of occasions. I deal with the department routinely on these matters, and I challenge that. And in their own report, which they published, just take the report from the department. They produced the report as required under the mitigation programme. They made that contention. The civil servant subsequently made a different quotation at the joint committee that you refer to. I challenge that. And at the end of the day, the big thing here is that if the parties reach an agreement, and that's what we're working to do, if the parties reach an agreement, then that will be a very strong indication to the British government that the parties here want the mitigation to continue. And I'm making the point, there is still money left in the budget to pay these at a rollover from next year at minimum, because there's money in the mitigation which we secured, which have not been spent because the British government are going to tax it, they're going to rob it.
I will talk to the other representatives this morning, obviously, as well, but I think some people might be slightly curious as to, if you're all trying to work together, why you're reluctant to even make public who the representative is that you're working with in the DUP.
You sat down
with someone in the DUP. Why should that be a secret?
It's not a secret. As far as I'm concerned, I'm trying to do this on the basis of the integrity of the discussions. Okay? So it's not for me to publish the contents of that meeting. I wouldn't have even mentioned that meeting to your program this morning, other than Andy Allen trying to introduce stupid politics into the issue.
Well, do you want to respond to that, Andy?
That's why I challenge him around.
Stephen. I absolutely do, and I would challenge back to Alex. And indeed, it might surprise him to know that I speak regularly with my MLA colleagues within my party about these matters. And indeed, when I was referring to the politics of it, as he's accused me of doing, I was referring to getting Stormont back up and running, getting the minister back in, as you've outlined, Stephen. We need and we require to be able to take these decisions.
Well, Alex Maskey is saying you don't need Stormont back up and running, that the legislation's there. So who's right?
Well, I've also met with those senior officials in the Department for Communities, and my understanding is we do require a minister to take those decisions.
Well, we'll go to the Department of Communities this morning and ask them what the latest position is.
Stephen, all you need to do is, first of all, let me be clear. Let me be very clear. I want the institution up and running so that we can deal with this matter as robustly and as thoroughly as we possibly can. So I want that done, okay? The fact that it's not done, we'll take another program for you to do this morning or tomorrow morning. So that's fine. But all take it as a given that we as a party are doing our level best to get the institution up and running again, but they'll have to do so on the basis of the integrity and so on and so forth.
So, Andy...
Meanwhile, I have been meeting with the other parties, and when Andy introduced the politics, then that's why I say, well, then go and talk to your colleague, Robbie Butler, who has been involved in those discussions. And let Robbie explain to you where those discussions are.
And what's your understanding, Andy, of where those discussions are at?
The parties of
the welfare.
Discussions were in relation to welfare. Yes, Alex, welfare, a very important matter alongside other matters. We're in agreement. The Ulster News Party, we need to safeguard, we need to protect those individuals that are going to be impacted by the medication.
And how are you going to do that?
Well, the reality of it is, Stephen, we want Stormont back. We want them back to be able to do that. We are asking for urgent meetings with the Secretary of State and others involved in relation to this to try to get this pushed forward.
And is the Ulster Unionist Party, is this where we're at in Northern Ireland, where we have Sinn Féin saying we do not need Stormont up and going again, we do
not
need... No, sorry, hold on. You're not saying we don't need it up and going again, big picture, but you are saying that you do not feel that we need it up and going again to get this welfare mitigation, that there's legislation already in place. That's your understanding, Alex. And Andy Allen,
the department has made it clear in their own report, which was published, that the bedroom tax and the bandwidth cap can be paid in the existing...
And Andy Allen, am I right in saying that the Ulster Unionist Party is saying the opposite, that this cannot be, the mitigation cannot be continued without a new Stormont? Is that correct?
Stephen, we've met with the department and we've put these questions to the department. The senior officials running the department at the moment, in the absence of ministers, and that is their advice to us, that they are unable to take forward the mitigation measures post-March 2020. We're taking our advice from them because they're the most senior people running the departments in the absence.
So you can imagine how members of the public, particularly those who will need this, will be hitting their head off a brick wall this morning.
Absolutely.
Thinking to themselves, you have two different political parties here living in the same country, and you're both saying completely the stark opposite. Alex is saying it can go through without legislation,
and Andy Allen, you're
saying that the same department has told you it can't.
Let me just make a clear point. As I said to you, as far as we're concerned, Sinn Féin, we want to see the institution up and running so we can tackle this on a whole wide range of other very, very important issues. In the meanwhile, while we can't get the institution up and running, my focus will be, along with the other parties, including Andy's party, my focus will be entirely on trying to make sure we get a maximum agreement amongst the parties as to what mitigation...
No, that's off the point. The current point is the Ulster Unionist Party are saying this cannot go through without new legislation, and you're saying it can. So that needs to be flushed out.
I'm saying to you, Stephen, and I don't want to repeat it again, I'm sorry about this, but the department themselves have acknowledged that some of the mitigations, bedroom tax, boundary cap, can be dealt with in the current scenario.
And is that your understanding, Andy Allen?
It's not. From the advice that we received from the department, we met them and put it to them, can the mitigation be extended post-March 2020? And it was... quite clear. No, they cannot. We need a minister.
And Patsy McGlone from the SDLP, what's your understanding? Does there need to, Patsy McGlone, does there need to be new legislation or not?
Sorry, Stephen. I think where the misunderstanding is coming from here is Alex may well be quite right there that the bedroom tax and benefits cap can be dealt with, but the mitigation measures cover a huge range of other issues forby that. You have the likes of mitigation measures, compensation for loss of ESA or the sickness benefit. A huge amount has been spent already in 2017-18. They spent $16.7 million on a compensatory amount for people who have lost as a result of the transition from BLA to PIP. There's the loss of disability premiums, which are very significant. People's lives, maybe 65 quid a week. So there's a huge range of mitigation measures there affecting an awful lot of people that aren't being dealt with either under the proposals that Alex is suggesting there. What we're hearing is, yes, there needs to be legislation brought in. The only question is, who brings it in? And it looks like we're not going to have Stormont up and running for quite a while. So the only question after that is, can the Secretary of State bring in that legislation? And Nicola Mallon has written to the Secretary of State asking that that legislation be brought in, those mitigation measures be continued after March next year. Because it is going to leave a lot of people.
And the Secretary of State is saying it's for an incoming local minister.
No, I get that. I understand that. Right around we go. But meantime, people are going to be left in a lot of hardship. And research done by the Department for Communities shows that between 60 and 70% of people who are currently receiving welfare supplementary payments aren't aware that these changes will be coming and that these changes for the worse will be coming.
And not too far away from Christmas. They'll get Christmas over them and March 2020, bang.
That's right.
If you lot don't get it sorted, all of a sudden people will be told. And again, I don't want scare tactics here. So, Alex, help me with this. Will people be told that their home is too big for them, that they've got spare rooms, that they've got to either move other people into their house or get out?
Well,
is that what they'll be told?
That is the iniquity of the bedroom tax. That is the problem with the bedroom tax. And, I mean, it's as if, I mean, I've argued this over Tories high and low for the last number of years, including the government ministers, and particularly the government ministers. I mean, this notion that, you know, you have a room too big or too many, whatever else, it happened in real time, very small number of occasions. Not as if we all live in massive houses here. The houses are quite small, as you would appreciate. So it's not a country mansion you have a spare room in, that's for sure, for most people here. So as far as I'm concerned, what I'm actually determined to do is to work on it. And I'm saying this in good faith for all the parties, that the parties have met. We have met on a number of occasions. We reached some consensus on how we want to move forward, at least on the benefit cap.
Well, what's the disagreement currently? If you've reached some consensus, where's there more need for work? What haven't you agreed?
Well, those dedicated discussions were essentially parked whilst the talks were on. In my view, the talks in the short term, in weeks or a couple of months, are not going to produce what we need to produce. So we're seeking to reinstigate those cross-party discussions again.
But sorry, I'm confused. In terms of the welfare mitigation, what is the gap between Sinn Féin and other political parties? What is it in terms of the welfare mitigation that you cannot agree on?
I prefer to look at it that we have made a little bit of progress, and then we're meeting shortly to continue to explore what further progress we can make. That's me being diplomatic.
But can you give us a sense as to what is currently the disagreement?
There's not. Well, I'm saying to you, I want to be generous in this conversation because, unlike some others, I'm not interested in having a row with people on this. I want to maximise the agreement between the parties.
Robert and Kyke Fergus wants to put a point to you before you go, Alex.
I just want to make that point. All I want is to maximise the agreement between the parties. I'm not going to betray the confidence of those discussions, but we have met on a number of occasions.
Let me let Robert and Kyke Fergus put a point to you just before you go. Morning, Robert.
Morning, Stephen. I would like to say to Alex, the people want the government back up and running. I've never mind these wee secret meetings about this and that. We want to see what's happening as citizens of this country. We also want you to stop hiding behind the Irish Language Act and get into government. You say that it's about rights for abortion and about marriage, same-sex marriage, and the Irish Language Act. But I would like to ask you, after the 21st of October, when two of them rights are granted and people will be able to have same-sex marriage and abortions through legislation, Will the Sinn Féin get back into government then? Because if they don't, then therefore they are holding the country back for an Irish Language Act.
Well, I mean, that's a sort of a multi-faceted question. As far as I'm concerned, we want to have...
You not answer it?
Well, let's let him answer. Let's give him some.
No, well, I'm giving you the answer with all due respect to the Cahan gave you. We definitely want to have the institutions up and running because there's a lot of issues which need to be dealt with, and I deal with them every day in a week. I'm a citizen here. I experience conditions every day in a week, but they're not... conducive to people's well-being. So therefore, I want the institution up and running again. So therefore, if we can do that, we'll do that. In the meanwhile, on the topic in question here this morning, I will focus my energy and the time ahead.
Alex, you haven't answered my question, Mr. Stark. You haven't asked me. Will you just get back in? Will you just get back in after October 21st when legislation passes the same-sex marriage and abortion laws?
We're not governed. Sinn Féin's efforts are not driven by a date or what might happen in Westminster. We will be doing our level best as we speak.
I think he's really asking, Alex, are you holding out for an Irish Language Act?
No,
is that the bottom
line?
We're holding out.
Well, all we're trying to do is our best to get the issues up and running again, but on a sustainable basis, on a basis that people are treated with respect across the board. That seems an easy thing to ask for, but it's been a hell of a difficult thing to achieve.
Right.
So we will focus on getting the issues up and running. In the meanwhile, I can assure listeners that I will work with the other parties. I'm not going to betray the confidence of those discussions we've had so far. They're not secret meetings. They're sensitive enough discussions. But I'm confident that the parties will agree at least on some mitigation support, and I want to try my best as one party to maximise that agreement. And then let's confront this government, which is responsible for cuts, to do the honourable thing and to take the brakes off those cuts.
OK. Alex Maskey, Patsy McGlone, and Andy Allen, thank you very much. It's Jim in Hillsborough next. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Doing all right, thank you.
I'll tell you why I'm ringing in here. I heard you asking Alex Maskey who he was talking to in the DUP.
Yeah.
But he didn't answer you. But, Stephen, you know and I know that before Martin died, he pulled the government down. So we're left with no government. And you know, you see this Good Friday Agreement. Apparently speaking, I think it's over.
Well, why do you say that?
We have no government. You asked Alex this morning. No, we haven't got a government. And you know, I didn't vote for the Good Friday Agreement. I voted against it.
Well, it's more than Jim. Jim, it's more than Alex Maskey's responsibility, to be fair to him, to get a government back. It's all of them, isn't it? They've all got
yourself
to sit down and work this out together.
Oh, yes, but you know yourself, the main party have pulled it down. Don't get me wrong, I'm not ready to kill Martin McGuinness. Martin McGuinness is dead and buried. But what I'm trying to say to you is, at the end of the day, is that the Sinn Féin pulled the government down. Now, I don't want to be ready killing doctors and nurses because they're doing a great job. But I had to go to the Royal here a couple of weeks ago. And you know this here? I sat that long, I come home. That's what's wrong, you see. We haven't got a government.
Well, can I just remind people, before we start looking through this with rose-tinted glasses, when we had local government here, waiting lists were increasing. And the thought that all of a sudden, if you've got these local parties running things here, things will automatically get better is not necessarily true.
No, well, that's their job, you see, and they're not at their work. You know yourself, you can sit back and talk about work and everything else, but you know yourself, you're a worker. You're in there getting on with your job. But them boys is not.
Well, they would argue that they're working as hard as I am, as hard as anyone else is, and they are getting on with the job. They're just not in government.
Well, that's why, you know, it's like me saying, oh, I'm going down to the building site in 6 months' time, but the building's going to go on. You need to be there to do the job. And you know that yourself, Stephen. You're on the ball there and you're doing your job and you're asking people questions and you're finding out things and everything else, but you're not sitting at home with your feet up.
What do you want me to say, Jim?
You he asked Alex a question there a while ago. He was talking to DEP. Who was these people he's talking to? And why is the government not up and running? But I would love to see the government up and running. I would love to see more police. I would love to see more ambulances on the road and doctors and nurses. And you know, the doctors and nurses are working flat out.
Well, do you, the last welfare meeting that there was with Alex Maskey, okay, and some other political representatives, I would be very interested in asking the DUP this morning if any of their representatives turned up to that meeting at all.
That's a good question. No, get them on and ask them. And ask Alex.
Well, we will contact the DUP this morning, and it's a very, just read between the lines of the question. So it's a very simple question. Did any of your representatives turn up to the latest welfare meeting around mitigation? And if so, who? And let's see how hard the DUP and other political parties are working to get this sorted. Jenny in Belfast. Morning, Jenny.
Hello, Alex. I would like to put this point to you.
So I'm Stephen.
I know you're Stephen. Sorry,
I thought you thought you were talking to Alex Maskey.
No. I just
because he's gone now, you see.
Oh, he's gone. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put a point to both the parties, Stephen. I agree with you. Why cannot they put out their hand of friendship? Because I actually think, this man, Alex, is harping on. I want to get up and running. I'm not holding anything back. But it's actually not true. And I believe that these people, either party, would get a lot more votes and a lot more respect if they held out the hand of friendship and said, OK, we'll go back to Parliament. We'll get the talk.
Takes them to hold out the hand of friendship to each other. Where have you seen the hand of friendship being held out to Sinn Féin by the DUP? What is the DUP's hand of friendship?
Well, I think exactly they could do the same thing, and whoever's the bigger party will do it first. And they'll get a lot more respect and a lot more votes because, you know, everybody's just fed up listening to them or we want to do it. You know, that you were talking on your show the other day about every time they're on the television, the eye rolling and the antagonistic body language. You know, nobody believes they want to get up and running. And we're all prepared to compromise on the Irish Language Act, the Gay Marriage Act, the abortion. We're all prepared to compromise to get what the people actually want. And we, you know, everybody wants those things. We just want peace. We want to get on with our lives. And these parties both need to realise, okay, let's wise up a minute. Let's, you know, get together and actually get some job done and help these people who need help. The people you're talking about today, you know, the abused people, all those things.
Okay. Jenny, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Neil McAllister, the Alliance Party councillor with us. So what's the Alliance Party doing to solve this impasse, Nuala?
Good morning, Stephen. So, yes, Alliance have been there back in 2015 around the original discussion of the mitigations around welfare reform, and we rightly supported that. And we would support the extension of what we would have in place in March 2020. Now, that does say 6 months away, and that might seem like a long time, but as you said earlier in your show, you're talking about Christmas coming up. You're talking about families, and a lot of people who'll be listening to your show this morning will now cause a lot of worry and concern with them. 6 months is not a long time.
And so is it the Alliance Party's view that the mitigation can be extended without further legislation going through Stormont, or do you share the Ulster Unionist Party's view that it cannot, that it needs new legislation? So Mr Maskey says it can, the Department for Communities can do it, the Ulster Unionist Party say they can't. What's the Alliance Party position?
Well, technically, Westminster can do it, but should they is the question. And I have to be perfectly honest. I have sat in a lot of the discussions that have taken place between the UK government and the ones that Alliance have attended, and they don't seem that they want to actually do anything. They don't seem to want to actually use the power because it's a power that Stormont already has.
Did Alliance show up to the last welfare meeting?
I can't confirm that because I'm not the representative. I would be lying to you if you said that we weren't, because I absolutely cannot confirm that. But we have actually been working with a lot of people within the sector who are affected, and our MLA's office, just like everyone across every political party, are saturated with people coming to us for advice. We can either help them or move them on to another person, an organisation who can help them. Like, welfare reform has been a lot of a disaster here in Northern Ireland. We have dealt with so many constituents who have moved across from DLA to PIPs, and it's caused so much heartache for them, who have actually had their monies removed and then it's been reinstated on appeal. So we have the potential situation where in March 2020, we're not only going to have to continue and with helping those who are losing out their money due to PIPs, but people who are going to lose out more money to the bedroom tax. And as the Affairs Committee report stated, there are some people who will lose hundreds of pounds per month.
But you're spelling out the problems. You're not telling me what Lance's solution is.
Well, it just has been confirmed to me that we did actually attend the last meeting. We did attend the last meeting regarding welfare reform whenever we were talking about it at the other committee.
Well, we're going to do a ring around the main political parties this morning and ask them, did they show up?
Well, I can't speak for any other political party. You would have to ask them that. But we're talking about a very serious situation here. So I would urge all parties that we need to get together to actually talk about the way forward. Because are we going to have an assembly March 2020? I'm not going to lie and say that there are talks going on. I'm not going to pretend that there are talks currently taking place up at Stormont to restore the executive.
Okay.
That'll be a complete lie. But regardless of what happens with the talks and the negotiations at Stormont, we're talking about people's lives being affected by these welfare mitigations ending, and we need to get it together to sort that out.
Nuala, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Good morning to you.